Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect him. And this is said over and over again. Be ready, because you don't know when I'm returning. I'm returning at a time you don't know. Be ready. It's a wicked servant that says, my master delays, and they're not ready. We need to watch, pray that we could escape. We need to be ready, because Jesus could come back at any moment.
The Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect him. As Christians, we need to watch and be ready because Jesus could come back at any moment. Today on Practical Christian Living, why Scripture clearly points to a pre-tribulation rapture and why we can have the absolute hope that the church will be saved out of the worst years this earth has ever seen. May it encourage us to walk boldly, sharing the good news of Jesus in these last days. Here's Robert Furrow with more from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
This is Jesus' advice to us. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. Why would he tell you that if you can't escape it? It's in the context of the tribulation period. Just kidding. You can't really escape. Well, maybe you could escape by dying early. He's not saying any of that. He's saying, pray that you would be counted worthy to escape all of these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. That's the end of the statement. And to stand before the Son of Man. Pray that you would be counted worthy to escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man. How are you going to stand before the Son of Man? Because we will be caught up to meet him in the air. And we will stand before the Son of Man. The sixth truth is that there are typology of the rapture in the Bible. The flood is a type of the rapture. Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah is a type of the rapture. They're destroyed and people are saved out of it. Now, I'm not the one coming up with this. Jesus is. Listen to him in Luke 17. Verse 26, out of all the studies that I should have had up on the screen, right? Verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah. So Jesus says the return, his return, this is in the context of his return again, it's going to be like the days of Noah. So it will be in the days of the Son of Man. There's your typology. As it was in Noah's days, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. Two things there. Number one, if it's the end of the tribulation period, are they going to be doing these things? At the end of the tribulation period, some pastor said you're going to be going to 11 funerals a day. You're going to be hiding. You're going to be barely surviving by the end of the tribulation period. When you read the tribulation period in Revelation, and then think of this in the last days. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. Those things aren't going to be, marriage isn't going to be continuing on at that point. People will be hiding and barely surviving at that point. And then it says, until the day he went into the ark, then destruction came. Same thing with Lot, until the day he left and then destruction came. So it is in the Son of Man. The day we're taken away, then destruction comes. Listen to what he goes on to say. Until the day that Noah entered the ark and flood came and destroyed them all. Now, there's this argument out there that the one taken and the one left, the one taken is the one destroyed and the one left is the Christian. There's this argument that they try to use. And I've even heard some Calvary Chapel guys begin to teach this. It's not what it says. It says they're destroyed. The one taken is Noah. The one taken is Lot. The ones taken is us to meet the Lord in the air. And then the ones destroyed are the ones that are left on the earth. Again, well, I'll just let it stand as that. I'd like to harp on it for a while. And then it says, likewise, also in the days of Lot. So now Lot is a type of the coming of the Son of Man. But on the day Lot went out of Sodom, okay, let's go back. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. And on the day Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. You couldn't have a better comparison to the church being raptured and then the destruction coming after it. It's the clearest typology there is. Even so, it will be when the Son of Man is revealed. So he says twice, it's going to be like this when the Son of Man is revealed. I tell you, now in this context, he says, in the night there will be two men. In that night there will be two men in one bed. One will be taken and the other one left. Two women will be grinding together. One will be taken and the other one left. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other one left. And I do think that this picture is the global aspect. That people are sleeping and people are working. That it happens at one particular point in time. And one is taken and the other one is left. This is, hey, people say, well, you couldn't get the rapture if you're reading it. Really? In the light of his return? In the context of his return? One's taken and one's left behind? You wouldn't connect that to 1 Corinthians 15? You wouldn't connect that to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18? I not only think you would, I think it did, by the way. I think it made that connection. So then we have our seventh, and then we're going to get into our text. So the seventh is that Jesus could return at any moment. It can't be the middle of the tribulation period because Jesus would have said, when this all starts happening, then look up. It can't be the end of the tribulation period because he would have said, you know, if you survive, then look up, your redemption draws nigh. Instead, it was, be ready. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 12, 39 through 40. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect him. And this is said over and over again. Be ready because you don't know when I'm returning. I'm returning at a time you don't know. Be ready. It's a wicked servant that says my master delays and they're not ready. We need to watch, pray that we could escape. We need to be ready because Jesus could come back at any moment. And if he was trying to tell us, you know, I just think if he would have come back in the middle or the end of the tribulation period, he would have told us, you know, hang on, going to be a rough ride. You know, he would have let us know something. But instead he says, be ready now. If he's coming back at the end of the tribulation period, why do you have to be ready now? You have to be ready now because he could show up at any moment. That's one of the strongest positions for the pre-tribulation rapture, that you have to be ready at any moment. And in Luke 21, 28, if you're taking notes, is the passage I've been quoting where Jesus says, now when these things begin to happen, he's talking about the nation of Israel. That's the context here. So when Israel becomes a nation, when Jerusalem is taken back by them, when these things begin to happen, they started happening in 1948. He says, lift up your heads. Your redemption draws near. He doesn't say, look around, figure out who the Antichrist is, because you're going to have to avoid that guy. He doesn't ever give us any encouragement as a church of how we would face those last days, but instead tells us that we will be saved out of them. So let's get into our text. So here we have the clearest teaching of the resurrection. And it's because the Thessalonians, and this is the earliest book written, and the Thessalonians were worried about the people that had died. They'd lost people since they became Christians. They lost people because they became Christians. They were under great persecution. And so they were worried about the people that had died. They missed it. Can't believe they missed it. And remember, in Judaism, there's these group of people, the Sadducees, who don't believe that there's a resurrection. Who knows what kind of beliefs these Romans had, the Thessalonians. But for whatever reason, they just thought, you know, my wife died, and now what? She missed the kingdom. And so Paul says to them in verse 13, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. And by sleep here, he means die. And that becomes evident here in a moment. He's going to call them dead in a minute. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Why are they sorrowing? Because they don't think they're going to see him again. They don't think they're going to see him in the kingdom. They think they missed it somehow. They just don't have the understanding you and I have. We know if someone dies, to be absent in the body is to be present with God. They just don't have that. They're coming out of this Roman culture. They've come to Christ. They don't know those things. So he's teaching them. He says, you're grieving like someone that doesn't have any hope. Your wife died. Your son died. And you think I'll never see them again, but you will. Your grief is different. He says, lest you grieve as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So when he returns, he's going to bring their souls or their spirits, their consciousness, with their spirits with him. Is there some kind of an intermediate body right now that they're in? Maybe, I don't know. Paul talks about not being further housed in a temporary house, and maybe there's a temporary home that you get when you die and you go into what theologians call the intermediate state. It's from the time that you die now until Jesus returns. What are you going to be? A spirit floating around? Maybe. Will you have a temporary body? Most believe that. There'll be some kind of a temporary body that you will have, that you just won't be a spirit floating around. But he's going to bring those people with him. And then it says, for this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that those who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel. Michael, the archangel, right? And he's going to shout. We know from 1 Corinthians 15, this is in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. They say that that's 10,000ths of a second. I don't know how they know that. Maybe they do. I'm just saying, they just say it's 10,000ths of a second. So a second is about 1/1,000. If you count to two, like 1/1,000, 2/1,000, that's a second. And 10,000ths of a second, twinkling of an eye. So the archangel is going to shout, the voice of the, and with the trumpet of God. And again, we don't know what this trumpet is. This is the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And there's where it calls the asleep, the people who are asleep dead. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. So the first thing that's going to happen is that there's going to be a resurrection. When you go to a funeral, they bury Christians with their head facing to the west, so that when Jesus comes from the east, the person will rise right up out of the grave. Now, I don't think they're doing that superstitiously. Like if their head's pointed east, their feet are going to come out first. We better help them, make sure their head comes out first. You could bury them anyway if you want to. But the next time you're walking through a cemetery, just look at the direction they're faced. They're laying down and they're facing east in expectation of the return of Jesus Christ. And as a pastor, you stand on the west side and usually can talk about that. That gives you an opportunity to talk about the return of Jesus, that this Christian is now waiting for the Lord to return. And we do this as a tradition that's been handed down through the centuries in waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. And so the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And look at the word caught up. That's the word harpazo. That's the word that has been translated originally in the New King James Bible as rapture. That's where we get it from. Personally, I don't like the word, because I don't, you know, it fits okay, but I like the gathering better. Or the Bible talks about, yeah, the Bible talks about our gathering together with him when it comes to the return of Jesus for his church, our gathering to him. I like the gathering. But it's a snatching away. This word means to be snatched away, to be quickly taken. It's like somebody runs in, grabs you, and goes back out. You've been harpazoed. And they don't use it like that. They wouldn't use it that way. But you get my point, I hope. So then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. So these are the dead. So there's a resurrection that happens, and then we're caught up. And we know from 1 Thessalonians 15 that we're changed, and this mortal puts on immortality, this corruption puts on incorruptible. And I don't know what happens when we're caught up. Tim LaHaye had our clothes being left behind, right? So the people would walk around and look at a pile of clothes. There's Robert's clothes. I could make something about clean underwear, but I don't know that that's going to happen. I don't know if we'll be translated in our clothes. I don't know if our clothes will be left behind. I don't know if clothes will fall from the sky. I don't know what's going to happen. I guess you can use your imagination any way that you want to, but two things have to happen. The dead in Christ rise first. This is everyone who has died up to this point. This is Old Testament saints. This is New Testament saints. They are united together with their body in Jesus Christ because everybody's saved in Christ. It'll be quite a moment, and then we who are alive and remain, which will be hundreds of millions of people on the earth, that will be caught up to be with the Lord. I don't know what this is going to, I don't know what people are going to say about our disappearance. I think that some people will say, especially now, and we've said this for years, but it makes more sense now, aliens got them. Right? They've been documenting all these aliens. There are going to be people who say, evolution got them. These Christians have been holding back progress forever. We're restraining, is what we're doing, but to them it's holding back progress. And so the universe, the Mother Earth took them. Just look who's gone. It's them Christians, right? And we're being demonized today. We're being propagandized today. There's a whole group of people who are not only propagandizing Christians, but propagandizing the right. I'm talking politics now, I don't like to, but they're propagandizing the right. Before Germany would send Jewish people to the camps to be gassed, they turned them into cartoons. They propagandized them. They slandered them. They made them subhuman. That's what you do to a group of people you want to get rid of. And they had the propaganda, it would be better off if they weren't alive. It'd be better off if they were dead. You know what it sounds to me today? Sounds like abortion. Sounds like people saying, this unwanted baby is going to have such a bad life and probably die. So your solution to a bad life and dying is killing it while it's in the womb. That's your solution, is never giving it a chance of life. And it's even worse than that, because out of the possibility that some unwanted babies, because some of you were unwanted and you're living a very productive life. So it's only some unwanted babies that are going to have a horrible life and live a nightmare and then die. You want to kill a bunch of them. If there's any unwanted baby, let's take them while they're in the womb. Because some of them might have a horrible life. It's the same thing. We're propagandizing, you know, my body, my life. My body, my choice. Well, until you realize it's a different body. You can say that until the forceps go around the head of a baby, another body, and tear it apart. That's not your body. It's another body. Propaganda is good. Propaganda is good to get people thinking different ways, to get them out of what really is taking place. And Christians are being propagandized. And when we're gone, I think they're just going to go, yeah, I'm glad they're gone. Good riddance to you guys. I think they'll be really happy we're gone. And we'll be really happy we're gone. Because what this earth is about to go through, and if we understand, why does God judge this world? He judges it because of his anger, because of all the blood that was shed, because of all the innocents that are shed. I've said it so many times, and I mean it, abortion is the issue of our day. They're killing babies in the womb. And they can lie to you. They can tell you it's not happening after a certain point. Third trimester abortions aren't happening. Yes, they are. Don't believe the lies. They're happening. They're not only happening in the United States, they're happening in other countries. And I think that we should continue to stand up and fight for the innocent. And I think that this is why the wrath of God will be poured down upon this world. On this very topic, Billy Graham said, if God doesn't judge America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord destroyed the earth because of the violence that was on the earth before the flood. It was the violence. The most vulnerable among us today is the most at risk. Now here I realize as I talk about it, that there are some here that have had connections to abortions, some women that have had abortions, some men that have encouraged people to have abortions. And I want you to know that God's forgiveness is available. It doesn't change what it is. You just can't say, well, it was cells, not a person. It doesn't change what it is, but there is forgiveness, complete and total. And I hope that talking about it doesn't make you feel too uncomfortable, but maybe you realize more than anyone that it should be talked about. Because babies need to be saved. They need to be rescued. And so he'll come back, and we will be, who are alive and remain, will meet the Lord in the air. Now, there's no other way you can say this. People who say, well, there's no rapture in the Bible, What are you going to do with this? What does it mean you're going to meet the Lord in the air? Are you going to make that into a metaphor? You're going to say, well, it means Jesus comes back and we join him in spirit, not in body. We still walk around in the air. I don't know what you would say. People do it. By far, the majority of premillennial Christians believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. The post-trib, the mid-trib is a minority positions. Now, just because something's a minority position doesn't make it wrong. There can be minority positions that are correct. I'm just pointing out that many good Bible teachers believe in the pre-trib rapture. So when people leave me messages and say, you know, you're one of the idiots that believe in this. Yeah, and so is John MacArthur and David Jeremiah and Alistair Begg, and we can just go down the list because it's clearly taught in Scripture. It goes on to say, and thus we shall always be with the Lord, therefore comfort one another with these words. If I'm going to comfort you with these words, let me try this on you. The rapture's going to be after the tribulation. You're going to go through the tribulation. You're going to suffer, perhaps die at the hands of the Antichrist. You're going to dodge hailstones. There's scorpions. Don't get stung by one of those things. You'll want to die and can't. Do you feel comforted? Are you like, that's so comforting? Ooh. Comfort one another with these words. This is going to happen at the end of the trip. No. How about the worst time is coming that this world will ever see? God's about to pour his wrath down upon mankind because man is rebellious against God, because man is murderous at heart, and God's going to judge this world. And God's not going to judge us with it. We're going to be taken out before. God's going to take us out because his wrath will not be poured out upon the church. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. You're going to meet him in the air. How about that? Is that better? Comfort one another with these words. The other is, I mean, just to be as frank as I can, is just ridiculous. You're going to comfort somebody by saying, just hang on, the rapture's coming at the end of the tribulation period. It just is going to be before the tribulation period, and we are to look up because our Lord could come back and get us at any moment, and this is a hope that we should believe. One of the Bible tells us in the last days, scoffers are going to arise saying, where is the promise of his coming? There are scoffers all over the place making fun of us because we believe this. That's a sign that we're living in the last days and that this is about to happen. All right, stand up with me, would you? Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage. And as we consider these seven truths about the pre-tribulation rapture, knowing that you take us out before, we are waiting for you. And when we see Israel as a nation, we look up and we are waiting for your return. We thank you for all that you're doing. We pray that your Holy Spirit would reveal your truth to us about these and help us to live our lives in a way that we are not taken advantage of like a thief coming in the middle of the night, that we would be ready, that we wouldn't be those who you come unexpectedly to, but we would be waiting for you. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and his word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.